who cares? Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. That's what long lines at Denver's airport sound like today. Same story in Atlanta, Chicago, Newark, and elsewhere, as officials declared no liquids, gels, or pastes because a plot has been uncovered to mix innocent substances into anything but innocent concoctions that could blow a hole in the airliner at altitude and scatter people all over the Atlantic. CBS's Jim Stewart.
There are some people that they would like to pick up, and it's proper to call them suspects. I get the very strong sense, though, and I'm told flatly by people that I think know what they're talking about, that the key players in this thing have been wrapped up.
24 arrests in Britain, more in Pakistan.
Air traffic is safe, and air traffic will remain safe precisely because of the measures we are adopting today.
Homeland Secretary Michael Chertoff says you can't mix a liquid bomb if you can't bring liquids onto the plane.
I'm Heather Bosch at SeaTac Airport.
Perfume, cologne, shampoo, suntan lotion.
Where passengers are getting hit with a list of items that were just banned from their carry-on luggage.
Okay, any questions?
How long is the line?
Long. I really don't know, sir.
Some passengers say the lines at security checkpoints are so long.
This reminds me of post 9/11, so we're doing it again.
Heather Bosch for CBS News. Near Seattle.
Oil prices came down $2.35 a barrel to $74 today. Industry analyst Peter Butel.
The market sold off today because the terror event would suggest that people might want to fly less. There's already been some reports of people canceling flights. It makes them very uncomfortable when this sort of thing is revealed.
Gasoline futures fell 18 cents. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 48 points. NASDAQ gained 11 points on the day. Add Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to the lists of world leaders interviewed by Mike Wallace.
They don't want to live side by side in peace with other nations.
Who does not?
The American government, sir.
The full Mike Wallace interview with Ahmadinejad is this weekend on 60 Minutes on CBS. No Child Left Behind is one thing. Teachers Left Behind is what's happening in many places. Heather Pesky at the Education Trust did the study.
40 states did not even look at whether minority students were getting shortchanged in terms of teacher quality.
And good teachers for poor students is one of the requirements. The King of Ireland is named Lewis, a mountain goat. It is one of Ireland's oldest traditions. Each year, a wild male goat is caught in the foothills of Carrantoohill, paraded through Killorglan, and then is perched on a 50-foot pole to reign as king of the Puck Fair. 3 days of music, dancing, and drinking. This is CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. Come in now and get great savings on Goodyear and Michelin tires during our national automotive sale. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LNZ 2606.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Too young to drink? Well, there's a study that says that's not necessarily a problem if you can handle a mouse, and most young folks can.
Teenagers are too young to buy alcohol at the local liquor store, but many have found a new way.
Millions of kids are ordering alcohol online and having it delivered directly to their homes without any ID check.
At the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America, Juanita Dugan says 75% of teens in a new survey say their parents do not control what they do on the Internet, and many teens are home alone in the afternoon.
And that's when packages are generally delivered. The parents aren't there.
The wine and spirit wholesalers who funded this study are in a long-standing dispute with wineries that market their products independently. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
In Binghamton, New York, police have arrested a 64-year-old man armed with a slingshot. They say he shot up his brother's car dealership over a long-running family feud. Police say William Gault broke so many windows, it's felony, criminal mischief. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Jesse emails, Dear CompUSA, are you guys really giving away 10 grand? You better believe it, Jesse, $10,000. And there's a guaranteed winner every day, now through Saturday. As if that's not enough, we're also putting all our Apple computers on sale for the first time ever. It's all part of CompUSA's huge back-to-school sale, where we got it, we get it.
No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited, store visit required, see store for details.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
That's me. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate from the left coast of these United States. We got a power pack show again for you today. Hope you can stay with us for as much of the next 3 hours as you possibly can. In about a half hour, Scott Ritter will join us. He came to our attention as a weapons inspector in Iraq. He served in the United States Marine Corps and then was assigned to the UN inspections team prior to our invasion in 2003. And we've got a host of things to talk with Scott Ritter about. He wrote a powerful piece that you can read at alternet.org about the problems, the complications of our support for Israel in the Middle East right now. And so many other things to talk about, including the Bush administration's earlier threats this year to include a nuclear option in any action taken against Iran. And we're getting word that the generals persuaded the White House to back off on that. And there's a lot of other interesting information in the news as well related to nuclear proliferation. There is a story that floated over the weekend that Iran has attempted to acquire uranium. Oh, not from Niger. No, from another African nation, Congo. And that is being discredited. We'll talk with Scott and get his take on that. And also, just in the last 48 hours or so, there was an interesting maneuver where the U.S. and Russia went into Poland and nabbed some uranium and sent it to Russia for safekeeping. That's another thing we'll ask Scott Ritter about when he joins us in about half an hour. Then in our second hour today, we get two interesting views, well-informed people about the Middle East. Professor Usama Makdisi is a professor of history at Rice University, and Professor Ira Chernus is a professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado. And they have divergent backgrounds and interesting viewpoints with some similarities. So we'll share that with you in our second hour today. And then as we head into the free speech zone, we're going to get a live report from Washington, D.C., reaction to the crackdown, the red alert on the airspace, or at least in airspace, due to the foiled plot that the British apparently interrupted yesterday. So we'll get a first-person account from Jim Ridgway of Mother Jones Magazine, and that'll kick off our free speech zone headed up this afternoon. And we may get a panic attack. I cannot predict, but there is a chance if he can get through airport security. So that's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome at any moment. We provide a toll-free number, and you're welcome to call. It's 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we're trying to track down our man Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report there, and he's not responding to our calls right now, but we'll probably get him in the next few minutes. In the meantime, if you'd like to call and talk about something that's in the news, feel free to do so. I have no shortage of items here to talk about, but we always welcome conversation. 888-5-PETER-B is my telephone number. In the Progress Report today, there is some pretty interesting reaction to yesterday's reaction, particularly from Republicans, to the upset in Connecticut, where incumbent Senator Joe Lieberman, as you well know, lost by 4 points to challenger Ned Lamont. And this, of course, is something that we have been rooting for from the left coast. I'm delighted to see it. And of the predictable spin from the White House and other Republican operatives has actually caused some problems for the spinners. Because one of the things that came out of Tony Snow and the other talking point talkers from the White House yesterday is that Lamont's victory is going to embolden our enemies. And that his victory is sending a signal that Democrats want to cut and run, that we're soft on the war on terror. And they proceeded to offer some recent history, saying that when America has cut and run in the past, or been perceived to have cut and run, that it has invited our enemies to consider, plan, and plot and execute further attacks. And Tony Snow kind of put his foot in his proverbial mouth, because one of the episodes of cutting and running that he cited was the mid-1980s withdrawal of U.S. forces from Lebanon. And that was after the grisly attack that killed over 200 Marines at the Beirut base and that introduced many Americans for the first time to Hezbollah. And it was interesting because I have been more and more frustrated by Chris Matthews' coverage on the Hardball show on MSNBC in recent months. But I have to say, last night he served it up to Ken Mellman, the chair of the Republican National Committee, who was trying to stay on his talking points. And there were two things that Matthews really grilled him on. One is the idea that, this historical cutting and running includes Ronald Reagan's decision to remove U.S. troops from Lebanon in the mid-1980s. And Mellman was a little bit stuck because, oh, I love Ronald Reagan. I'd never say anything bad about him. But if he were alive today, he certainly wouldn't have withdrawn American forces from Lebanon. Well, I'm sorry. You know, that is a hypothetical divided by spanning over 25 years and a dead president. And he can speculate all he wants, but it won't get him out of that little ditch that he dug himself into. The other interesting piece is that the chair of the Republican National Committee was unwilling to explicitly endorse the Republican nominee for the United States Senate in Connecticut, the guy who has to face Joe Lieberman and Ned Lamont if Lieberman goes forward with his independent campaign. I think the guy's name is Schlesinger or something like that. I'm sorry, he is so low profile, I've never actually seen his name in print anywhere. At any rate, over the course of this interview, Chris Matthews gave Mellman repeated opportunities to endorse or, you know, just in some way back this guy. And the most he would say is that, well, Jim's a really nice guy. And Matthews pointed out he's only got 9% support in the polls. And Mellman kept dodging the question and just saying that he'll let the voters of Connecticut decide that. Well, I find that fascinating because for public consumption, the chair of the Republican National Committee should endorse all Republicans. But it shows just how unusual Joe Lieberman is from the Republican perspective. And the way that Cheney and everybody else piled on in the news cycle yesterday to try to paint Ned Lamont's primary win as a dangerous move to the far left fringe in this country, well, I think it's backfiring on them. Because Ned Lamont acquitted himself remarkably well in the post-election interviews that he conducted yesterday. He was on with Matthews for 8 or 10 minutes, and he also did a lengthy interview on the NewsHour with Gwen Ifill on PBS. And I have to say that in the televised debate from Connecticut that was broadcast in July, Ned Lamont looked like the deer in the headlights. He had trouble looking at the camera. His eyes were a little off, and he just seemed, you know, a little amateurish. I thought he did well in that debate, but there were moments where I cringed a little bit and said, ooh, he needs some polish. Well, there was no lack of polish in Ned Lamont yesterday, because they hammered him from every angle, trying to get him to acknowledge that he's a dangerous liberal, and he didn't. He said, you know, I'm in the mainstream of the party. After all, I got the majority of the votes here. And that suggests that the mainstream of America, the mainstream of Connecticut Democrats, oppose the war in Iraq. Duh! So I give him a whole lot of credit. And I was so delighted to see him withstand the questioning, turn things back, and he never dodged a question, but he always took the question and then turned it to his advantage, turned it into a selling point for Ned Lamont. And based on that, when people hear Lieberman's whining comments about the politics of personal attack, and then notice that Ned Lamont is not attacking Joe Lieberman, he's attacking his policies and his positions. Well, I think ultimately that many of the charges emanating currently from Lieberman and from the Republicans are going to fall on deaf ears in Connecticut simply because they don't match the perception that Connecticut voters have of Ned Lamont himself. So I think it's been just a tremendous 48 hours. I am disappointed that Cynthia McKinney lost in Georgia. I'm not sure that election was stolen because there's an 11,000 vote margin there. But I'll keep my mind open until we have further information. And I do appreciate the work she has done. Yes, she's a lightning rod. Yes, Cynthia McKinney can be very shrill. I understand that. But I think we need a few of those people. Because Washington has become just too dull, too much business as usual, too much just taking care of the incumbents. And McKinney, you know, always challenged that. Not always well, not always well received. But, again, she's the kind of person I think we need a few of on Capitol Hill. We're going to take a break here. It looks like we're not going to reach fast today, so why don't you join me for some free speech over the next few minutes? Scott Ritter will join us just past the half hour. Lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Monterey Tile reminds us, thousands of children that were safe at home a year ago are missing today. Parents, for the safety of your children, have a heart-to-heart talk about what to do if approached by a stranger. It could prevent a child abduction. If you or anyone you know has any information regarding a missing child, call your local authorities. This message is brought to you by Monterey Tile. For all your custom tile work, call 831-655-3082. That's 655-3082.
One, two, three.
Those who start wars never fight them.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws, they can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them.
That's from the new CD called Yell Fire. Michael Franti and Spearhead. Time to Go Home, it's called. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, Scott Ritter is going to join us, a former U.S. Marine, former weapons inspector for the United Nations. We're going to talk about a variety of subjects related to the conflicts in Iraq and between Israel and Lebanon, or Hezbollah. Lots of other issues we'll talk with Scott Ritter about, too. There's room for your call over the next few minutes if you'd like to join me at my toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Puts you through here to the Peter B. Collins Show. And Fashakir has been very loyal, very reliable. Something must have come up. Maybe he's trapped in a subway in Washington and wasn't able to talk with us today, but we'll get him back on the air as soon as we can. And since we have a little extra time here, my producer, Matt Renner, found an item on the web. And this is a political commercial from a Republican candidate for Congress. And let's see, this guy's name is Vernon Robinson. He's a challenger in North Carolina. And this is one of the most incredible ads that I have heard in a long time. And I will describe some of the visuals. It's available at YouTube.com if you can find it there. But I'll describe this as it plays, and we'll just see what you think about it. Loading, right?
If you're a conservative Republican, watching the news these days can make you feel as though you are in the Twilight Zone. Americans are under attack from Islamic extremists in every corner of the world. Homosexuals are mocking holy matrimony, and the lesbians and feminists are attacking everything sacred. Liberal judges have completely rewritten the Constitution. You can burn the American flag and kill a million babies a year, but you can't post the Ten Commandments or say God in public.
One nation under...
7 out of every 10 black children are born...
Pictures of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
Racial quotas. And the aliens are here, but they didn't come in a spaceship. They came across our unguarded Mexican border by the millions.
I'm Vernon Robinson. If you send me to Congress, I'll send that back to the Twilight Zone. I approve of this message and of traditional American values.
And they close with a Leave It to Beaver scene. That is amazing. Now, as you heard that diatribe, imagine you're a conservative Republican. Do you really think that by electing Vernon Robinson to Congress, you can stop gay marriage? You can stop all of these social changes that upset people like Vernon Robinson? I just find it hard to believe. And it's amazing what kinds of messages Republicans think will gain traction. And I hope they're not right. But maybe they are. Josh in Salinas. Hi, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., I opened my Monterey Herald this morning, and on the editorial page I found Cal Thomas. Let's count how many sentences it takes him to go into the politics of character assassination.
All right.
The defeat of Senator Joe Lieberman in Connecticut's Democratic primary is more than a loss for one man. So far, so good.
Yeah.
It completes the capture of the Democratic Party by its Taliban wing.
Oh.
Two sentences. Good one, Cal.
Okay.
Taliban, we're majority of the American people. He can't call us extremists.
Right. Yeah, he's unclear on the sense of the term majority.
Poor guy.
Either whether we're talking about primary voters in Connecticut or average Americans who respond to a poll.
You're correct.
Yeah. And I'm proud to be a part of the Taliban wing of the American... Is it the Democratic Party or just America?
He says Democratic Party.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm a registered declined to state voter, but for Cal Thomas's purpose, I'll be happy to pose as a member of the Taliban wing of the Democratic Party.
There you go. Paragraph 2, he says that we, in quotation marks, killed one of our own because he didn't conform to the narrow agenda of the party's kook fringe.
I thought we called that an election. Isn't that, you know, democracy, will of the people, that kind of thing?
Yeah, kook fringe, the majority is the kook fringe, killed. If you're not in Congress, you're dead. I'm croaking here.
Thank you, Josh. I'm glad you read the paper.
Thank you, Peter. Bye-bye.
Hope it didn't ruin your breakfast. Dave in the Pinnacles, you're next here on the Peter B. Show.
Hi, Peter. Hey, you sent me that book, I Read It Confidential, by Mr. Ritter. I really appreciate it. Hey, what I wanted to know is just kind of off the cuff what Mr. Ritter thinks of Building Number 7 collapse, and sees as how he's a weapons expert. What would he think would cause all that concrete in New York to turn to powder?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll see if I can work that in. I got a lot of other things to talk with him about, but if there's time, I'll ask him.
Okay, bye.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much. When Scott Ritter joins us, we're going to talk about a couple of polls. So while I've got a few seconds here, let me just mention one of them. Last week, this was published, a national poll. Let's see who did it. The Harris poll, released July 21st, found that a full 50% of U.S. respondents, up from 36% last year, said they believe Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction when U.S. troops invaded in March of 2003. It's just stunning. And yesterday we shared the poll with you that reports that 30% of Americans can't tell you what year 9/11 occurred in. So we've got a serious amnesia problem. And Scott Ritter will address these items coming up right after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And try again.
Oh, we'll hang up. Okay. Let me try this. And if you'd like to talk with Scott Ritter, we'll try to squeeze in a couple of calls over the next half hour. That number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
¶¶
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we resume on the Peter B. Collins Show, where your calls and comments are welcome at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
Here we come, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections.
24 minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're standing by to reach Scott Ritter. And you can tell this is a live radio show because, well, mostly this is a well-oiled machine. And when we tell you somebody's going to be on, they're on. And Faz Shakir didn't connect with us last half hour. Not sure what's up. Maybe he's roaming Washington, D.C. And Scott Ritter is scheduled at this time. We got his voicemail a minute ago. So we're going to stand by and hope that he joins us. And in the meantime, there are a few things that I want to mention to you to give a little background for Scott Ritter if he is able to join us today. And also, you're welcome to call if you want to chat with me about issues in the news related to nuclear weapons, the claims of weapons of mass destruction in Iran and Iraq, and anything else of that nature. Feel free to give us a buzz at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. I mentioned briefly before the break a Harris poll, July 21 this year, found that more Americans than ever believe that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction that required our invasion of Iraq. It was only 36% last year. Now, some people think that this may be an anomaly that was caused by the mid-July comments from Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania that, in fact, they had found some of the long-sought weapons of mass destruction. Turned out to be a phony report based on outdated stockpiles that might hurt a flea, but are not considered toxic enough to be dangerous to humans and were not in any form that could have been deployed or even an attempt of deployment was made when we invaded that country. So it is staggering to see that half of the people polled are so far out of touch with reality, they can't all be Fox viewers, that they would say that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. So that's one of the things I want to talk with Scott Ritter about. Also, I recommend to you a lengthy column that he posted at alternet.org, other websites, yesterday. And it reads, "The Grave Consequences of Supporting War in Lebanon." Let me read you some excerpts. With Israel waging an all-out war against the forces of Hezbollah and the death toll in terms of civilian casualties mounting on a daily basis, the question of a diplomatic resolution to the crisis takes on an urgency that's being felt around the world. Everywhere, it seems, except in Israel and the United States. One should not be fooled by the false diplomacy being waged by the U.S., fronted by Secretary of State Rice and the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. Already, Israel and the U.S. are feeling the brunt of a diplomatic backlash resulting from the horrific devastation rained down on the people of Lebanon as a result of Israel's blind rage and America's misguided support of everything that is done in the name of Israel. Let me turn the page here. There's some other interesting remarks here. Knee-jerk reactions aside, there's really no foundation upon which Americans can morally continue to support the Israeli actions in Lebanon. Indeed, many Americans, joined by like-minded people around the world, are increasingly taking a position that opposes the Israeli military assault on Lebanon. And the backdrop now to this is that in the last 24 hours, Israel has announced plans to triple the number of ground troops going into Lebanon, up to about 18,000, and the Bush White House in Crawford, Texas, issued a statement asking them to wait. And it appears at the moment that Israel has responded favorably to that request from the White House, but not sure how long that will hold. Scott Ritter goes on. Israel claims the moral high ground in this current round of conflict, citing the July 12 attack by Hezbollah on an Israeli army patrol that left 8 IDF soldiers dead and 2 captured. The disproportionality of response aside, Hezbollah fires hundreds of rockets into Israel and gets thousands of artillery shells and aerial bombs in return. Israel's civilian casualties run in the scores, Lebanon's in the hundreds. Israel's claim as the aggrieved party simply does not withstand the test of history and fact. Well, that's some pretty strong opinion from Scott Ritter. Here are a couple more. Hezbollah is decidedly anti-Israel, as only a group born from the oppression of Israeli occupation of their homeland could be. This has led to fiery rhetoric on the part of Hezbollah and its supporters, which has been exploited by Israel and the United States to paint Hezbollah as an organization dedicated to the destruction of Israel. Nothing could be further from the truth. Hezbollah has stated that its goals are the removal of all Israeli forces from Lebanon, the Golan Heights, and the return of Palestinian refugees to Palestine. Hezbollah also continues to demand the release of Lebanese and Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. Some have been there for 20 years or more. Excuse me. And one more item here. Hezbollah claims that Israel had agreed to release three specific prisoners, and this is a deal that goes back a couple of years. And he names them. And then he says that Israel's Ariel Sharon had apparently reneged on the deal at the last second, prompting Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, to declare that Hezbollah retained the right to capture Israeli soldiers at any time in order to secure the release of these three prisoners. The July 12 attack by Hezbollah was nothing more than Nasrallah keeping his word. Well, I think these are interesting perspectives, and I'm sorry that Scott Ritter apparently is not going to be able to join us today, but I want to open up the phone lines here, and I want to invite calls from people who consider yourselves progressives and who have not called recently to talk about Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, and Hezbollah because you're supporting Israel. And I understand that. I understand this is a complicated situation that can pull on individuals' loyalties in different ways. And so if you disagree with me, if you disagree with the point of view that you've been hearing on the Peter B. Collins Show, I want to invite you to come forward. And I'll offer you a respectful platform as long as you offer me a respectful exchange. And to the extent we differ, we can leave it at that. But I am interested in hearing from progressives who support Israel and who find this very awkward because you oppose the Bush administration on every other important issue. And I know you're out there. I know there are people who listen to this program who have loyalties or affinities to the nation of Israel, the government of Israel, and who feel conflicted about these events and the U.S. role in them. So we've got some extra time here, not expected. And if you would like to take that invitation, I would like to hear from you. I have lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And if you like it all digitally, 888-573-8372. And there may be some other perspective that you haven't heard expressed either on this program or in other media settings, print or broadcast. And so maybe you consider yourself the only person in the world who thinks X and you want to express it. Well, here's your opportunity. So give us a call and let us know exactly what you're thinking. And if we can get to how you arrived at it, well, we'd like to explore that as well. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, toll free. This arrived in my email earlier today, and it's an article signed by Sherwood Ross, an American columnist and magazine writer. He's not someone I've talked to or who I know, but I'll read you part of this and see what you think. President Bush and Vice President Cheney abandoned a plan to include the possible use of a nuclear device to destroy Iran's uranium enrichment plant at Natanz because of Pentagon opposition, according to Seymour Hersh, the investigative reporter who primarily publishes in The New Yorker these days. Bush and Cheney were dead serious about the nuclear planning, a former senior intelligence official told Hersh. But Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Marine General Peter Pace stood up to them. Then the word came back, okay, the nuclear option is politically unacceptable. Hersh termed this a major victory for the military, but one that has left bad feelings between it and the civilian hierarchy in Washington. In The New Yorker, Hersh reports senior commanders inside the Pentagon increasingly challenged the president's plans on grounds that the nuclear attack likely would not succeed in destroying Iran's nuclear program and could lead to serious economic, political, and military consequences for America. The possibility of using tactical nuclear weapons to destroy Natanz's buried laboratories was held to be politically untenable, as the device could vent fatal radiation for miles, wrote Seymour Hersh. Natanz is about 200 miles south of Tehran. Instead, the Air Force has proposed dropping large bunker buster conventional bombs in quick succession on Natanz to generate sufficient concussive force to accomplish what a tactical nuclear warhead would achieve, but without provoking an outcry over what would be the first use of a nuclear weapon since Nagasaki. This approach might fail, owing to the enormous heat generated by the first bomb that would liquefy the soil. One Pentagon consultant said it would be like bombing water with its currents and eddies. The bombs would likely be diverted. Robert Pape, a University of Chicago professor who's taught at the Air Force's School of Advanced Air and Space Studies, is quoted as saying, Natanz is a very large underground area, and even if the roof came down, we won't be able to get a good estimate of the bomb damage without people on the ground. We don't even know where it goes underground, and we won't have much confidence in assessing what we've actually done. Absent capturing an Iranian nuclear scientist and documents, it's impossible to set back the program for sure. So what this suggests is, A, Seymour Hersh did have a positive impact by disclosing that we were considering using a nuclear weapon to prevent Iran from developing, a nuclear weapon. So I think that's encouraging. The second part of this, though, that it may be impossible to reliably blow up from the air only these facilities that we think are off limits or should be, well, I think that's a very sobering factor. I doubt that anybody at the White House right now is considering sobering factors like that. We're going to take a quick break and return. I'd like to hear from you, particularly if you support Israel and you've been grinding your teeth listening to this program, or your loyalties are divided because you can't stand Bush, but you do support Israel. If that's you, give me a call, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Did you hear the show When God Called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Next hour, we're going to give you two views on the situation in the Middle East. Professor Usama Makdisi from Rice University will join us first next hour. He's an associate professor of history. And Professor Ira Chernus, religious studies professor at the University of Colorado, will join us. His new book upcoming this fall is called Monsters to Destroy, the Neoconservative War on Terror and Sin. As we mentioned, we had scheduled a conversation with Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector. He's not available, and we'll reschedule that as quickly as we can. And that means I've got room for your phone calls, and I welcome you if you'd like to talk about the issues in the Middle East. And as I mentioned, I'm particularly interested in talking with people who generally support the views you hear from me and on this program, but you don't support what you hear about the war in the Middle East right now. And as I mentioned, I can imagine that there are many people who have reasons to support Israel, support the Israeli government, and it's got to be very difficult because if you don't support the Bush administration's foreign policy in Iraq, if you don't support its saber-rattling toward Iran, and if you think that Bush is a liar and a total failure, as I do, then going to a position that jibes with George W. Bush and Condi Rice and the gang, I'm sure can be highly conflicting. But I know that this is a very difficult subject for some people, for many people, and I respect and recognize the complexities there. So if you'd like to chat in that vein, give me a call. If there's something else you want to talk about, I'm open for that. 888-5-PETER-B is the number, and all our lines are open right now. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Why don't you press those buttons and just see how it works? One other thing I wanted to talk with Scott Ritter about is the New Yorker magazine of, the cover is August 7 and 14 of 2006, has two very powerful articles. One is a profile of Hezbollah, and the other, written by Steve Coll, C-O-L-L, is entitled The Atomic Emporium, and it gives a great deal of background on the work of A.Q. Khan, or Han, it's spelled K-H-A-N. He is, he's designated the father of the Pakistani atomic bomb. And he set up a laboratory to develop nuclear weapons in Pakistan back in the 90s. And he really is responsible for a lot of the nuclear proliferation, the attempts to Libya, the more successful attempts to Iran, and there are a few other client states that we may not fully know about, but we believe that North Korea is one of them. And I recommend the article to you. It's written from the perspective of a trial in Germany that most of us know nothing about. A man named Gotthard Lurch was accused of being a middleman for the acquisition of nuclear materials, plans and designs and centrifuges, all that stuff, for Pakistan. So it's a very interesting, lengthy article, and I recommend it to you. I learned quite a bit from it. Billy joins us. Thank you for calling, Billy, and bailing us out. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing lousy. I've got some sort of shoulder problem. I'm just getting over a knee problem, and now I have a shoulder problem. Old age sucks, Peter.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, because pain is hard to deal with, and you don't want to be a whiny guy. But when things hurt and you're feeling sharp pain, it's hard to be your bubbly, normal self.
Exactly. Although my normal self isn't bubbly, so that's not a problem. Well, Peter, what do I win? I hate Bush and I like Israel. What did I win?
You didn't win anything.
Oh, damn.
I thought that there are people who listen to our show who have been kind of holding back because while they may listen to me and respect that they're hearing a different point of view, it pulls against basic loyalties to the state of Israel. And I just wanted to say this because I wanted to acknowledge to my listeners, number one, that I really don't have all the answers. You may think I sound like that, but I do understand the complexities of these kinds of conflicts, and that it produces further conflict for people like you.
Yeah, although I just sort of accept that the left is wrong on Israel, and I still love you. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I never take things like that personally. And I don't think that, you know, if you choose to support the state of Israel, that makes you wrong. Part of it has to do, I guess, with levels of rationality. And I don't know if you heard, but I spoke to a woman the other day. It was after midnight in Haifa, Israel. And she's a Californian from Long Beach. And I first asked her, I said, oh, were you on vacation? She said, no, we came here on purpose after the war started. And I said, well, what's your point of view? She said, I am a Zionist. And she repeated that three or four times over the course of an 8 or 9 minute conversation. And so as she kept, reverting to the Zionist label, I asked her if she's a fanatic. And she said, oh, no. But in her expression, and as I tried to, you know, ask her questions, do you have any empathy for the people in Lebanon? She didn't really. Her sense was that Israel must be protected, and she just very flatly said that Israel must exist, and therefore any effort made in that direction is rational and justifiable from her point of view. And
oh, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, you know, rational? No. When do states act rationally? Justifiable? I don't know. It's just, for me, it's a more of a bottom line thing. Bottom line, I like the result where the Arabs don't win, because if they win, all the Jews are dead. And that's just unacceptable. So therefore, I've got to, you know, mostly err on the side of Israel. I don't think Israel is necessarily right. I just want to see Israel survive.
Well, I want that, too. I really do.
I believe that.
I want Israel to survive, and I would like it to be able to live in relative peaceful coexistence with its neighbors. And I do not project that as one side being all right and one side being all wrong.
Exactly.
And that's where I believe the United States has made a significant error, because we don't even have any pretense of being an honest broker between these conflicting parties.
Well, you know, when we're having the war on terror, quote unquote, and these guys are terrorists, which they clearly are, it does box us out a little bit in that sense.
Well, and you know, I have trouble with that language. First of all, I don't accept the whole notion of our war on terror. It's certainly a rhetorical phrase, and I understand how it is used.
Good point.
Secondly, I don't believe that either side here can say that they're not using terror tactics.
Yeah.
Because to bomb innocent civilians, and Billy, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a heart-wrenching color photograph in the New York Times yesterday.
No, I didn't see
it. Of a dead baby in Beirut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the baby's mother's hand, which had been severed from her body, was comforting the child. In this death grip.
God. Well, I mean,
here's my point. When I looked at that, I said this was not the result of an attack on Hezbollah. And this is where I cannot buy what Olmert has said, you know, that he wants to end terror against Israel. Well, if you want to do that, it's got to be proportional. It's got to be seen by impartial observers as some sort of a justifiable response. And to kill innocent civilians in large numbers, to bomb areas that are not directly connected to Hezbollah, to destroy the infrastructure of Lebanon in a widespread way, that prevents even humanitarian aid from coming through, that's what I find excessive. And the U.S. is not, yesterday they put the brakes on Israel for the first time. But in general, we have not attempted to do that, and I think that's bad for the United States, and overall, I think it's bad for Israel.
Absolutely. The question I have is, of course, why are they doing it? You know, because, again, other than the fact that I have to hit you back a little harder so you'll stop hitting me, in general, Jews are, you know, the people of the book. Now, admittedly, when you say never again, and people keep saying, why were you willing to go on those boxcars? And I understand the left likes, we're for the victim. Mm-hmm. You know, that's who we are. And, you know, Israel's not the victim, and I'm really happy about that. I'm not happy about what they do to keep from being the victim.
Really?
I don't claim
really?
It's right.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Matt, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got a good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Airliner bombings may have been just days away.
This plot appears to have been well-planned and well-advanced.
At airports, new rules for flyers.
Any creams, lotions, liquids?
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says an attempt to blow up as many as 10 transatlantic flights simultaneously was in the final stages of planning when British intelligence intervened, arresting 24 suspects.
CBS News has learned that one of the 24 people in custody was an insider, someone who worked at Heathrow. This person was actually arrested in their airport uniform. This was someone who had an all-access pass around the airport.
Reporter Amy Gutman in London.
U.S. counterterrorism officials say the London plotters were as close as a matter of days and no more than 2 weeks away from launching their suicide attacks when Scotland Yard began rounding them up.
CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart has details on the plot.
The attacks were planned against commercial flights on U.S. airlines leaving within about an hour of each other for the most popular American tourist cities. Direct from Heathrow Airport in London to New York, Washington, Miami, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Boston. Somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean, investigators say the martyrs planned to simultaneously explode small chemical bombs made from ingredients in their carry-on luggage.
Liquid chemicals would have been smuggled onto planes in innocuous containers like plastic beverage bottles. Authorities say the plotters plan to combine the ingredients in flight and detonate the explosive mixture with a battery-powered device like an iPod, cell phone, or flash camera.
It's a nightmare threat because it's one that's virtually impossible to detect with the screening equipment we now have.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr. As a stopgap measure, airport security imposed new rules today. No liquids, creams, or gels in carry-on luggage.
I'm Peter King at Orlando International Airport. They've set up a makeshift checkpoint here, long tables and the notices on what you now can and cannot bring on in your carry-on luggage, and a number of large garbage cans, one of which is already filled up with everything from shampoo and suntan lotion to soda and water bottles. Nobody seems to mind. They just seem to realize that this is a part of the new rules if they want to fly today.
National Guard troops were sent to some airports to help with security. More after this.
Now, how hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
CompUSA email bag.
Jesse emails, "Dear CompUSA, are you guys really giving away 10 grand? You better believe it, Jesse, $10,000. And there's a guaranteed winner every day, now through Saturday. As if that's not enough, we're also putting all our Apple computers on sale for the first time ever. It's all part of CompUSA's huge back-to-school sale, where we got it, we get it. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited, store visit required, see store for details."
President Bush says the airline plot is a stark reminder.
This nation is at war
with Islamic fascists.
That phrase is criticized by some American Muslim leaders who say it was ill-advised and could inflame anti-Muslim sentiment. The White House says the president was kept up to speed on the investigation by British Prime Minister Tony Blair. They had a lengthy teleconference on Sunday and spoke again yesterday. Today's news came at a bad time for U.S. airlines just returning to economic health. Airline stocks declined today on speculation that travelers will avoid flying. And oil industry analyst Peter Butel says traders think demand for jet fuel will tank.
We saw crude oil prices down $2.35 and gasoline down 17 cents. That's very good news for consumers. And it looks at this moment as if those drops in prices could hold on for a little while.
At the UN, U.S. Ambassador John Bolton says the Security Council could vote tomorrow on a Mideast ceasefire resolution. CBS News has learned Israel is telling Washington it needs to continue operations in Lebanon for another month to establish a buffer zone. Correspondent Robert Berger reports on today's fighting.
Israeli troops seized two key towns in South Lebanon, but came under a hail of rocket and mortar fire from Hezbollah guerrillas. Two people were killed in rocket attacks on northern Israel. Israeli ground forces are poised to push deeper into Lebanon, but officials say they'll wait a few more days to give U.S.-backed ceasefire efforts a chance.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Pink eye, the burning, the watery discharge, the redness. The relief? Similasan Pink Eye Relief. Finally, relief for the symptoms of pink eye is available right over the counter. Homeopathic Similasan drops stimulate your eye's natural ability to relieve the symptoms associated with viral and environmental conjunctivitis. Strong enough for adults, yet gentle enough for children, Similasan's active ingredients have no known side effects. Look for Similasan in the eye care section at your local retailer. The problem? Pink eye. The relief? Similasan Pink Eye Relief. Read and follow label warnings and directions.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. Come in now and get great savings on Goodyear and Michelin tires during our national automotive sale. If you're going places this summer, make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LNZ 2606.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm still your humble host, Peter B. This hour, we present two interesting viewpoints on the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah and its impact on the citizens of Lebanon. In about a half an hour, we'll be joined by Professor Ira Chernus, a professor of religious studies at the University of Colorado. But first, we're going to talk with Professor Usama Makdisi. He's an associate professor of history and the first holder of the Arab American Educational Foundation Chair of Arab Studies at Rice University. He's the author of The Culture of Sectarianism, subtitled Community, History, and Violence in 19th Century Ottoman Lebanon. He's also the author of Anti-Americanism in the Arab World, an interpretation of brief history, which appeared in the Journal of American History, and Ottoman Orientalism and Reclaiming the Land of the Bible, Missionary Secularism and Evangelical Modernity, both of which appeared in the American Historical Review. Professor, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, sir, and we're doing what we can to bring as many viewpoints out regarding the conflict that's underway. And in particular, we seek to bring out viewpoints that you don't hear in the mainstream corporate media in this country. And no orthodoxies here. You can say whatever you want, and we will not call the enforcers of political correctness. I wanted to get, just without suggesting, you know, any preconditions here, what your take is on the current situation, this conflict between Israel and Hezbollah, and Israel's announcement that they are tripling the number of ground forces up to 18,000 or more who will be marching into Lebanon, and that this war could go on for another 4 to 8 weeks.
Yes, that's what the Israelis have been saying. I mean, threatening, bombing, killing, murdering Lebanese, as they've been doing for the past month and as they've done for the past two decades. And as you said yourself, I mean, the situation is grim. It's getting bad. It's getting worse, actually. The fighting continues, and the Lebanese population, the civilian population of Lebanon, bears the brunt of what's happened. I mean, it's an outrageous violation of international law, and from a Lebanese perspective, from a civilian perspective, it's a catastrophe. From an Israeli perspective, frankly, their military goals have thus far failed. I mean, they have been embarrassed by their inability to destroy Hezbollah, which was their stated objective. They have been embarrassed by their inability to free the two Israeli soldiers who were taken captive on 12th July, which they have not succeeded in doing. And the situation goes from bad to worse. And the real problem is, the real tragedy is, from an American perspective, is the role of the U.S. government in all this, which has been to cheer Israel on in its incredible aggression against the entire population of Lebanon and to do everything possible to block a ceasefire. And so even today, John Bolton, Israel's man at the UN, the United States man at the UN, has basically continues to block any call for an immediate ceasefire, which has been the call of basically the entire world. It's been the call of the Lebanese government. It's been the plea of the Lebanese government and the people of Lebanon, and most, I think, honest people around the world. And unfortunately, as we see, the U.S. government, led by John Bolton at the UN here, has have blocked any call for a ceasefire, so the war goes on.
Yesterday, the Western White House, the vacationing president, issued a call to both sides for restraint. In particular, this appeared to be aimed at Israel, but of course they, you know, tried to mask that diplomatically by saying it applied to both parties. But the Bush administration appeared to be asking Israel to put the brakes on. Do you consider that to be the real message they sent?
No, I think the message they're sending, the clearest message they're sending to Israel is the bombs and the weapons they keep supplying Israel and the diplomatic support they keep extending to Israel. I think the U.S. government has been embarrassed by Israel's inability to achieve military victory in the south. I think the U.S. and Israel have both miscalculated tremendously here in the sense that they thought Hezbollah, they keep calling Hezbollah a terrorist organization without any appreciation of the fact that Hezbollah belongs in Lebanon. It is part of the Lebanese fabric in the south of the country and as well as many other parts of the country. It's a popular organization that simply cannot be destroyed in the way that you crush a box of cardboard. It's not that simple. And I think the Israeli military miscalculated tremendously. And as a result, they're lashing out, as they've been doing from the beginning, lashing out against Lebanese civilian infrastructure and population, causing tremendous misery in the country. And that's seen around the world, that it's embarrassing the U.S. because the U.S. is the prime sponsor of Israel. And the U.S. is telling the Israelis to basically destroy, but destroy in a way that doesn't embarrass the U.S. I think that's the message that was being sent yesterday.
Professor, hang on. I'm going to switch over to another circuit here. I'm just getting some noise on your phone line, and I think I can fix that if I move you over here. So stand by for just a second. Little low-tech, high-tech switch. Professor, are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that's much better. Let me just put this to you. The term terrorism is thrown around, bandied about, in ways that I consider to be very misleading and often irresponsible. And in particular, we have Israel using Bush rhetoric and framing that virtually everything Hezbollah does is terrorism. And we know that that's not factually correct. You could argue that the launching of missiles into civilian areas like Haifa it can fit the description of terrorism. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I believe that Israel is using terror tactics by bombing areas that are not directly related to Hezbollah, by destroying massive portions of the infrastructure of Lebanon. It will take years for that country to recover. And fundamentally, I think that Israel has overplayed its hand and is going to now have a protracted occupation of southern Lebanon and some sort of obligation to help rebuild the country once hostilities are finally brought to an end.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly the case in the sense that there's no question that you could look at it from a legal perspective and an international humanitarian law perspective. And there is no question that Hezbollah's firing of rockets into Israeli civilian areas can be considered war crimes. But as you say, the Israeli violations are massive compared to what Hezbollah has been doing. And not just massive, it's premeditated to an astonishing degree. The Israeli government declares time and time again, and has declared time and time again, that they want to cause the Lebanese population pain. And the bombing, the scale of the bombing, the savagery that we've seen and that we hear about and read about is colossal. And these are all war crimes. And, of course, the blame is squarely on Israel and its U.S. sponsors, because they have provoked this, what was a border skirmish, into, and they turned a border skirmish into a massive war. And again, the idea was very simple. The Israelis thought that they could simply terrorize the population of Lebanon into submission, that somehow the people of Lebanon would turn on Hezbollah and force Hezbollah to disarm and to withdraw from its own homes and its own villages. And what's happened is the exact opposite. The people of Lebanon have rallied around resistance to Israeli aggression and terrorism, and you see the results. The Hezbollah has not folded, nor do I think it is going to fold, and the Israelis have, as you said, miscalculated.
We're talking with Professor Usama Makdisi from Rice University, an associate professor of history there. And Professor, help me out here. From your perspective, where is the appropriate entry point to start to discuss the current conflict? Should we go back to the original occupation of Lebanon some 25, 28 years ago? Should we go back only as far as 2000, when Israeli troops started to pull out and there was the swap of prisoners from Hezbollah and Israel? What is the appropriate place to start the context for the current conflict?
Well, I think that the appropriate place to start would be 1917. That's a long history lesson in the sense of the Balfour Declaration and Zionism and the takeover of Palestine by European Jews, supported by the British government, and the destruction of Palestinian society and the expulsion of Palestinians from their homes. Those people ended up as refugees, the Palestinian people today, scattered throughout the Arab world, but especially in Lebanon. And as a result of the presence of Palestinians in Lebanon and the rise of a resistance organization and an attempt to reclaim Palestinian rights and properties that were taken over by Israel, the Israelis invaded Lebanon in 1978 and again in 1982, ostensibly to get rid of the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization. As a result of that invasion and the massive catastrophe that ensued with that invasion and the death of tens of thousands of Lebanese and Palestinian civilians and the brutalization of the people of Lebanon, Hezbollah emerged as a resistance organization, which chased out the Israelis finally in 2000 from most of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, the Israelis have always had a score to settle with Hezbollah. Hezbollah is the first organization that's managed to evict Israel from Arab territories, occupied Arab territories, without concession. And the Israelis have been unable to deal with Hezbollah, I think, psychologically, as well as they've been unable to recognize that Hezbollah emerged as a result of its own occupation of Lebanese territory.
Professor, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll pick up there as we continue.
Sure.
We're talking with Professor Usama Makdisi from Rice University, an associate professor of history. If you have a comment or a question, you can get on the line now. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mercury Milan, my first time in this five-passenger, four-door, mid-size car. My demo has a 3-liter fuel-injected, six-cylinder engine and a 6-speed automatic, delivering plenty of power and acceleration. It has good traction, holds the road well, and handles with ease. The ride is a little bumpier than I expected, and the turning radius is pretty big for a car this size. Inside, it's got good legroom and headroom, and my demo has a good package of accessories and safety features. The Milan is assembled in Mexico, which helps explain the lower price tag. Before you buy a Camry, Maxima, or Malibu, give the Mercury Milan a test drive. By the numbers, the 2006 Mercury Milan gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $25,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540, westbound 152 after Casa de Fruta. It's installed tomato truck. It's blocking the right lane on a blind curve there. Be careful. Once again, this would be west 152 right after Casa de Fruta. Stalled tomato truck blocking the right lane on a blind curve. South 101 at the 183, a box of lettuce in lanes. So be careful there. Good news for the 17 as you travel through the Santa Cruz Mountains with no major problems to report, no stalls or accidents at this particular problem time. Don't let ants attack your sweets before you do. Call the Orkin Man. He's been fighting ant invasions for over 100 years. Protect your home, protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKINMAN. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 22 minutes past the hour. As we mentioned, coming up about 10 minutes, Professor Ira Chernus, religious studies prof at the University of Colorado, will join us. Right now, we're talking with Professor Usama Makdisi from Rice University. And Professor, just before the break, we were discussing the context and the historical origins of today's conflict. And I think it's interesting because when you ask different people, you get widely divergent answers. And I understand the context that you provide. And of course, in the American media, we get absolutely no context to the coverage of the conflict. It only goes back to the 12th of July.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely correct. I mean, in the sense that the U.S. media is focused entirely on Israel's angst and on the humanity of Israel, but not on the humanity or the history of the Arabs. And so you have no sense whatsoever that this conflict dates back decades in the sense of Israeli brutality and Israeli refusal to deal with its neighbors in any sort of humane way. And, of course, in the original sort of history of Israel's colonization of or the Zionist colonization of Palestine, the expulsion of the Palestinians, and the whole problem. It's ironic when George Bush talks about root causes. He seems to believe that the root cause goes back to September 11th, 2001, without any appreciation or understanding that the history of the Middle East is a little deeper and a little older, and that's the problem that mm-hmm. we have.
Professor, let me ask you to react to this. It's from an article that was posted online over the last couple of days by Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector, and people can find this at alternet.org. And he wrote that this conflict in some ways is a result of Israel reneging on a previous deal to release prisoners. And he takes this back a few years and says that Hezbollah claims that Israel had agreed to release three specific prisoners, Samir Kuntar, Yahya Skaf, and Nissim Musa Nisser, and that Ariel Sharon apparently reneged on the deal, prompting Hassan Nasrallah, of course the leader of Hezbollah, to declare that Hezbollah retained the right to capture Israeli soldiers at any time in order to secure the release of these three prisoners. Mm-hmm. The July 12 attack by Hezbollah was nothing more than Nasrallah keeping his word. Is this correct?
Well, if that's the case, then that is correct. And I don't know the specific details. I'm not aware of the actual agreements, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Israel, as the dominant power in the region, consistently reneges on its word. It reneged on the Oslo Accords. It's reneged on any number of agreements. But the bottom line is that Israel and Hezbollah have engaged in negotiations before. You just mentioned in 2004, there was, in fact, a prisoner release between Hezbollah and Israel, a prisoner exchange between Israel and Hezbollah. So the real question is, why is it that in 2006 Israel reacted in such an astonishingly belligerent way to the capture of two soldiers? Why has it destroyed an entire country for the capture of two soldiers?
Well, and they characterize that capture as kidnapping. I preferred the term you used, because in a conflict situation like this, I don't regard it as kidnapping when a uniformed soldier is taken by the opposition.
Well, again, I mean, the point is, in the media in the U.S., which is totally blinded by its refusal to acknowledge Arab history and Arab humanity, whatever happens to the Arabs is all fine and okay. Whatever happens to Israel is always kidnapping or terrorism. It was a capture of two soldiers. It may or may not have been the right move to make at a particular point in time. But the real question, again, is why? Why does Israel escalate? Why did Israel turn a border incident into a massive conflagration? And why does the U.S. government?
Well, and in asking that question, Professor, do you have an answer or a theory? Do you think that the United States supported Israel for additional motives such as Iran and Syria?
You know, it's a very good question, and it's something that I'm trying to figure out, because, I mean, the U.S. historically has been pro-Israel. The U.S. has always been pro-Israel. But the U.S. has never been so belligerently pro-Israel at a time of war when Israel is attacking Arab states. The U.S. used to at least pretend to be an honest broker, although it never was that, but at least it pretended that. And that was important in terms of U.S. hegemony in the region. For the first time, we see the U.S. government actively supporting an Israeli assault on a sovereign Lebanese, sovereign Arab nation, and actively supporting the Israeli sort of murder of thus far 1,000 Lebanese civilians. I'm sure the casualty rate will be a lot higher, and destruction of an entire country. This is quite unprecedented, and Condoleezza Rice's callous description of this tremendous human suffering as, quote, the birth pangs of a new Middle East just goes to show how completely out of touch the U.S. administration is with the reality of the Arab world and how contemptuous they are of this reality. So I think I am actually perplexed, because we see the U.S. policy in Iraq has been a catastrophe, first and foremost for the Iraqis themselves, who are suffering tremendously today, but also for the United States. I mean, they've lost now, I think it's, I don't remember, it's 2,000 troops or 1,000, any number of troops.
The U.S.?
Yeah, the U.S.
Oh, 2,600.
2,600 troops thus far, and thousands more injured. Billions of dollars have gone to this war in Iraq, which has not furthered U.S. interests. It's the U.S. taxpayers who are paying the bill for that, as they're paying for Israel's aggression. I mean, the United States, the people of the U.S. are paying for practically every bomb that Israel sends over into Lebanon, and U.S. interests are not furthered one bit. I think the problem we have is that there has been a total identification of Israeli interest, or so-called Israeli interest, with U.S. interest, and this, I think, is quite new and very dangerous, I think, for the U.S., because there's no reflection, no distance whatsoever between U.S. interests, the U.S. standing in the world, and Israeli interests. And I think that is going to lead to tremendous trouble in the both near term and the long term.
Professor, I want to thank you for joining us and just mention as we close that this Saturday, hundreds of Lebanese are going to gather in Beirut at Martyrs Square and form a civilian convoy. They're planning to head into the battle zone in South Lebanon to try to express their desire for peace. And I'm going to watch this very carefully. It's an interesting effort, and I hope that Israel will not see them as additional targets.
I hope so, too.
Thanks for joining us today. A pleasure to talk with you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That is Professor Usama Makdisi from Rice University. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Professor Ira Chernus. He's a religious studies professor at the University of Colorado, and he's Jewish. He'll tell you his point of view as we continue right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you can join us toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
More and more women are choosing to breastfeed because of the advantages it has for babies. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me on Sunday to discuss the joys and challenges of breastfeeding, including what to do if you're having trouble nursing your baby and how you feel about breastfeeding in public.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman.
Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, 33 minutes past the hour. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we'll get a live report from Washington, D.C. on reaction to the terror threat that was interrupted by British authorities yesterday. Jim Ridgway, the investigative specialist at Mother Jones Magazine, will be joining us to kick off our free speech zone next hour. And somewhere along the way, we might get a panic attack. We sent Tommy Panic out to inspect airport security today. And if he finds a story, he'll be bringing it to us before the end of the program today. Lots of room for your phone calls, too. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Now, what do you say we hook up with Boulder, Colorado, and talk with Professor Ira Chernus. He is a professor of religious studies there at the University of Colorado at Boulder. He's the author of American Nonviolence, The History of an Idea, and his forthcoming book is entitled Monsters to Destroy, The Neoconservative War on Terror and Sin. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Nice to talk with you, sir. We were struck by an opinion piece that you posted at Common Dreams the other day, and it reads, "I am pro-Israel, therefore I criticize Israel." That's a pretty courageous position to take in a time like this, is it not?
Well, it's the position I've been taking for over 30 years, so it feels quite natural to me. And it's a very heartfelt position because it's just about 30 years ago that my younger sister moved to Israel and settled in a little village, a kibbutz, in northern Israel, just below the Lebanese border. And she's still there. She got married there back in the 70s, has raised three sons. And so I've got a very personal interest and concern and have had all these years in seeing the people of Israel be safe and secure. And I decided way back when she moved over there, even maybe before that, that the policies that the government of Israel has been following all these years are not making my loved ones on the good people of Israel more secure. They're making them less secure.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying this for a long, long time now, so as I say, it just seems natural to me, and I see them doing it again, and it frustrates the hell out of me, I got to tell you honestly.
Well, don't you get labeled a self-hating Jew for criticizing the state of Israel's government?
Oh, yeah, I get labeled all sorts of stuff. You get used to that after a while.
Do you?
And I just ignore that kind of stuff. If people want to actually engage me, you know, in serious argument with a different point of view, that's fine. But the name-calling stuff I just ignore.
Let me read a couple of lines from your piece here, and I'll ask you to expound on them a little further. "I don't say much about the immorality of Israeli actions. They are shockingly immoral. But talking about it won't make much difference. So I appeal to naked self-interest. I point out the obvious. Every time a Palestinian or Lebanese is hit by an Israeli bomb or bullet, it spells more risk for the safety of Israel. Most Jews who say they're pro-Israel act as if they're deaf to the moral arguments anyway. They do have hearts and consciences. They are not unmoved by the TV pictures of the carnage their military creates. But precisely because they are touched by the suffering of their foes, they become very skilled in rationalizing Israeli violence. For every moral criticism, they have a rebuttal ready at hand to ease their consciences. They and their ancestors have been doing it for over a century now, so they have a whole arsenal of moral justifications." Who are you describing here, Professor?
Well, it's true that I'm making big generalizations, but the latest opinion polls show that 93% of Israeli Jews believe that this war was justified, and 79% say they want their government to keep on fighting till their goals are reached, although curiously, only 56% say that they think their government has clear goals. But so again, I was making some big generalizations, but the very, very strong support for this war that comes from the people of Israel, and from what I read and hear from American Jews as well, it just does seem to me that it's self-defeating. It's these people are simply creating more enemies, putting themselves at risk, sowing the seeds of future conflicts that are absolutely predictable now. And the tragedy of it all is that it started this summer when the Palestinian leaders, the elected leaders of the Palestinian Authority from Hamas as well as Fatah, got together and said, we want to make peace.
Yeah, it is interesting because it's now kind of lost in the rubble. But Abu Mazen had threatened to call a referendum to try to get Hamas basically on record with his version of Palestinian foreign policy toward Israel. And explicitly, he wanted Hamas to back away from its declaration that, you know, it wanted to see Israel eliminated.
And in fact, he pretty much succeeded in that.
Yes, and this...
On June 24th, the two parties announced that they were uniting to support what's called the Prisoner's Document, which is a basically fair and just kind of settlement of the conflict. And the Israelis, as we know, chose to respond with violence.
Well, just there's one other step there, though, and that is that this tunnel was dug from Gaza under the border and into Israel. That had to be a very long-term effort. It wasn't something that was just a whim or that, you know, it was a couple of guys saying, hey, let's go shoot up some Israelis. So when they used that tunnel in order to grab Corporal Gilad, that was a conscious step. But my view is, or at least my speculation is, that it was fringe elements of Hamas who didn't want to see the accord of June 24 go forward who used this to try to derail that effort. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, now, of course, I don't know those people. We can't say it for sure, but it looks obviously like that's what happened because it repeats a pattern that we've seen over and over again. That when you've got moderates on both the Israeli and the Palestinian side who are ready to cooperate, to make peace, you will find extremists on both sides who try to ignite the conflict and scuttle those chances for peace. The sad thing is that here it was the government of Israel that was acting as the extremist, cooperating with those Hamas fringe elements who kidnapped Corporal Shalit because the government of Israel apparently didn't want peace. And that's why I say that I think their policies are so self-defeating for the Israeli people who want to live in security. Their government is acting in just the opposite direction. And that's why I say all questions of morality aside, because you can debate those morality questions forever, let's just talk about the self-interest of the Israeli people and say that their government had a chance to make peace. And didn't. And, you know, I think the same is true in terms of this much bigger war with Lebanon, although we shouldn't forget that while the fighting in Lebanon has been going on, the Israelis have been bombing and shelling and killing Palestinians in Gaza as well.
Every day, almost.
Just about. But to come back to, okay, so the Hezbollah, as we know, kidnapped two Israeli soldiers. Right. Now, they had every reason to believe on the basis of past experience that they could negotiate for the release of their Lebanese prisoners, which is what they've been asking for a long, long time now. They certainly didn't expect to spark the kind of retaliation that they got. And again, the Israeli government could have negotiated. The Israeli government could have negotiated for this little area known as Sheba Farms, which they're going to do, it looks like, in the end anyway. In other words, the Israelis could have made the same settlement that they're going to make pretty soon now, they could have made before and avoided all this bloodshed. So once again, and avoided all these Katyusha rockets raining down in the area where my family and so many others live.
We're talking with Professor Ira Chernus here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just emphasizing this point over and over again. As the title of my piece said, you know, I am pro-Israel. To me, being pro-Israel means wanting the people of Israel to live in safety, in security, in happiness, so they can just go about their business. And it might be worth mentioning, I was there a little bit over a year ago. As I say, up in northern Israel from my sister's house, you can look up and see the Lebanese border. We actually went up to the border, and my sister and my nephew were chatting in Hebrew with a couple of soldiers who were hanging out, supposedly guarding the border. And it's striking to me that there was no sense of threat. No sense of danger. This border was so loosely didn't they point it up the road and they said, oh, that's where the Hezbollah are up there. And nobody had any sense of conflict or danger there because that border has been essentially quiet for the last, what, since 2000, since the Israelis withdrew. So that's why I go back to in June when the Israelis scuttled the Palestinian peace offer with that brutal attack on Gaza, because that's what set in motion all these events that have led up to the present day. And there could have been peace, both with Palestinians and, I believe, with Lebanese, with Hezbollah, as there has been, in effect, for the last 5 years.
Professor, as we began, you stated that, you know, you're pro-Israel and that you criticize the government from a point of love and a sense of really yearning for peace. You also said that you've been a critic of Israeli militarism for 25 or 30 years now. Do you think it's gotten worse recently, and is the Bush administration a bad influence on the Israeli government?
I would say no and yes. No, I don't think it's particularly worse. I don't think the Israeli approach to things has changed fundamentally. I mean, you might have thought they would because they were burned so badly in Lebanon. The idea that now such a big majority support sending their troops back in is surprising, but over the years it's fairly consistent. The Bush administration is surely a bad influence. There's no doubt about that. And just this morning, I was reading the analysis in Haaretz, the top Israeli newspaper, by their top diplomatic correspondent. And he's saying that essentially right now, the Israeli government has kind of stepped back and let the Americans take over. They said, look, you Americans, if you can make a deal at the UN that makes us happy, we won't widen this war. But if you don't do that, then we're going to widen the war. So in other words, the American government now is pretty much in the driver's seat. And the tragic thing, again, is that you've got Bush and Cheney and Bolton and all these guys saying that how much they care about Israel and the security of Israel is the most important thing to them. And then they're stalling, perhaps blocking, what could be a very fruitful ceasefire agreement. And every day they do that, there's more of these Katyusha rockets coming down into Israel. So if that's what it means to be a friend of Israel, like, you know what they say, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. So, well, yes, I think the Bush administration is certainly a bad influence.
We're going to take a break and return with Professor Ira Chernus from the University of Colorado at Boulder. If you have a question or comment, come on. Give us a call right now. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. 46 minutes past the hour here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news. KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540 West 152 right after Casa de Fruta. It's a stalled tomato truck still blocking the right lane. It's on a blind curve. Be careful there. South 101 at Main Street, Salinas. It's several boxes filled with lettuce in lanes there. Salinas Reservation Road at Panziera Road. A car overturned, landed in a ditch. Emergency crews are en route. Hollister Highway 25 at Bolado Park. Small grass fire burning near the roadway. Fire department is en route. Financial aid is available year-round at California Community Colleges. Visit ICanAffordCollege.com. That's ICanAffordCollege.com or call 800-987-ICAN to see if they can help. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with me or Professor Ira Chernus, he's with us for another segment, you can get on the line now. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B.
World has changed so very, we're used to. So much hate.
And this item just in during the commercial break. Egypt's President Hosni Mubarak has said the United States and the West are losing credibility in the Middle East because they're dragging their feet on a ceasefire in Lebanon between Israel and Hezbollah guerrillas. In an interview with the Egyptian magazine October, released today, Mubarak also said it would be impossible to implement quickly a UN resolution which requires Hezbollah to disarm, one of the steps that Israel and the United States want to see in a political settlement that has been proposed. And, Professor, as you hear this, we know, of course, that many of the so-called moderate Arab nations kind of hung back at first, but after the attack on Kana, two Sundays ago, that changed pretty sharply. Do you think that Israel is again going to be isolating itself from its neighbors, even those who have not been openly hostile?
Well, I think that's pretty clear that this summer's events just continue a trend that we've seen, unfortunately, pretty much throughout the Bush administration and certainly since the invasion of Iraq got bogged down so terribly, that is with Arab public opinion, Muslim world public opinion, turning so sharply against the United States. And now, with good reason, I think, United States being seen as so closely allied with Israel, that public opinion around the world turning against Israel as well. And so it's just another part of the same pattern I've been describing of Israel and the U.S. following policies that really, in the long run, work against its own best interests.
Do you think the U.S. is using Israel as a proxy in its struggle with Iran?
I imagine. I mean, the U.S., I think, has been using Israel as a proxy for all sorts of policy aims for the whole history of the state of Israel, virtually. And I think that's an important point to make because sometimes, so often you hear it said that the Bush administration, particularly under the influence of the neoconservatives, is serving the interests of Israel. But I think it tends to be the other way around, that Israel doesn't call the shots. The U.S. is more likely to be calling the shots, and Israel has to eventually do whatever the administration thinks is in America's best interest. And as some people have pointed out, I think quite rightly, regardless of what president is in power, if a day comes when the United States government, for any reason, decides that its alliance with Israel is more of a liability than an asset, the United States will cut Israel off. So the idea that the Israelis somehow can depend upon the United States is that the United States is doing the bidding of Israel. I don't see it that way.
All right. Let's take a call. Steve joins us from Salinas. Good afternoon, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Ira Chernus.
Good afternoon. I just some thoughts here. And I wonder if there was a way that Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter, maybe even George H.W. Bush, could go over to Saudi Arabia and meet with some Arab leaders and Israeli leaders to work something out. Because there was a Saudi leader, I forget who it was, I saw him on the news one night, you know, asking Bush to put some pressure on Israel to slow down the violence, and Bush ignored him. And I think Clinton and Carter would be the two people that have the respect of the people.
Well, Steve, first of all, I do agree that we need to find a new path and some new people to work on the problem. I'm really glad that you didn't mention Jim Baker or Henry Kissinger. and I could sit still for Poppy Bush and President Clinton. I think that President Carter is somebody who could, provide an interesting role there, but I think that Clinton has more juice simply because he tried so hard toward the end of his term to broker a peace deal.
And he came so close.
Yeah.
Because the Saudis want to get involved, maybe something could be set up to go back to the 67 board, just off the top of my head here, and have the Palestinians take what was supposed to be their land then, and maybe the Saudis and other Arab countries could help them out financially with humanitarian aid until they can work something out for themselves. I think if maybe the other Arab countries are involved, there might be more support for something.
Well, and from my take, I would like to see a more robust participation by other Arab nations in helping us extricate ourselves from Iraq. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but it is a long-term goal. Professor Chernus, your comment on Steve's remarks?
Yes. I hesitate to encourage the idea that the United States, whether its government or its former president, that ought to be making arrangements behind the scenes in the Middle East. I think the U.S. government's been trying to do that sort of thing for decades now, and we can see the outcome. I'm more concerned as a Jew that my own community and its state act rightly and offer a just and lasting peace to Israel's neighbors. And then I think we'll start to see progress in the Middle East. Until that happens, we won't. And whenever U.S. As outsiders go in and try to meddle in Middle Eastern affairs, things that are so incredibly complicated, I think they're always working from a limited understanding and ultimately from American self-interest, and it doesn't really serve the people of the Middle East well in the long run.
They were so close before, and after Bush took over, Arafat said he would accept that Clinton peace plan 100% of it. Israelis had already accepted it.
And there certainly was a very real opportunity for peace back in 2000-2001 that was missed. That's for sure.
Professor, I understand your concerns, and I do not attempt to refute them. The one thing I would say is that if President Clinton were named a special envoy to the Middle East, I think that he could put the brakes on some of the worst ideas of the neocons in the Bush administration, or at least out them before they got activated. But I do understand your points that the U.S. really has lost any position or posture it might have enjoyed in the past in trying to broker, and as long as this administration is in power, I think that that die will be pretty well cast. But I think it could change with a change of regime in Washington. Steve, thanks for your call today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. Professor, got a minute left. You take it. What would you like to say to our listeners as a final thought relative to this conflict and your opinions?
Yes, I'd like to encourage folks who can see how self-defeating the Israeli policies are, to talk about it openly. Sure, people will resist, and sure, people might call you names, but people will call you anti-Semitic. It's not anti-Semitic to criticize the government of Israel. Hundreds of thousands of Jews in Israel do it every day. Right? It is actually, I think, an act of loyalty to Israel and support of Israel to encourage your friends and neighbors to question what they see on television, to question the rightness of Israel's war policies, and to call on our government to support the immediate ceasefire. That's not anti-Semitic, it's not anti-Israel, it's actually in Israel's best interest to do that.
Thank you, Professor Ira Chernus, C-H-E-R-N-U-S. He's religious studies professor, University of Colorado at Boulder. And when Monsters to Destroy comes out, will you make sure we get a copy? We'll invite you back to talk about it.
Happy to do that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. Coming up next is the Free Speech Zone. You can talk about the issues in the news at 1.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It wasn't just some guys talking about terrorism. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says the suspects arrested in Britain were just days away from carrying out their plot to blow up airliners over the Atlantic.
This group that came together to conspire was very determined and very skilled and very capable.
One suspect worked at London's Heathrow Airport. He had an all-access pass. As news correspondent Jim Stewart reports, the plot involved a large group of suicide bombers.
I'm told that there were at least 9, possibly 10. I think the number varies given the number of young martyrs coming into this. They were going to board aircraft at Heathrow and fly to the United States to sites that are described to me as favorite tourist locations, principally New York, Miami, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Boston.
British intelligence picked up on the plot 3 months ago when 2 British citizens of Pakistani descent visited Pakistan and met with suspected terrorists. Pakistan says it aided the investigation and several suspects were arrested there. Authorities say the plot liquid explosives that could be smuggled aboard and mixed in flight. That prompted a surprise change in the rules. Go check out the Seattle situation.
The SeaTac Airport are long.
Security line over here, folks, way down the end of the hallway.
So this that's going this way is for down there.
And confusing.
They don't know what line to put us in.
Curtis Taylor tried to put us in.
And because of the longness of the line, he missed his flight. And now I have to wait in the line down there. That's them paging him now.
Several passengers tell me they, too, missed their flights. Heather Bosch for CBS News near Seattle.
Tomorrow, passengers will go to a second screening at the boarding gate to make sure they're not carrying any liquids. Israel has delayed an escalation of the fighting in South Lebanon, but fighting goes on nonetheless.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Israeli forces seized the key town of Marjayoun in South Lebanon despite a hail of rocket and mortar fire from Hezbollah guerrillas. Marjayoun gives Israel an important foothold for a planned push deeper into Lebanon. Officials say Israel will launch a massive ground assault in a few days if diplomatic efforts for a ceasefire fail.
At the UN, Russia is proposing a 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire. U.S. Ambassador John Bolton says the Security Council could be voting on a comprehensive ceasefire resolution tomorrow. BP says it signed two major contracts with suppliers of the pipe it needs to repair its Alaska oil facilities. It's still producing about a quarter of its usual output. The Dow up 48 points today. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver of the number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet.
And I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management car.
You know, we're just two drivers of a team of 30,000.
That's because our team at Waste Management has drivers and pit crews all over the country.
So if you're revved up for a new career, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS.
Call now and get it in gear.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
CompUSA email bag.
Today, Mike emails, Dear CompUSA, just how big is your back-to-school sale? Gargantuan, Mike. For starters, somebody's guaranteed to win $10,000 every day. 10 grand. Plus, there's hundreds of deals, like our lowest price ever on a 17-inch LCD monitor. Under 130 bucks after savings and rebate. It's now through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it? We get it.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited. Store visit required. See store for details.
From the Justice Department, CBS News reporter Beverly Lumpkin reports the FBI has now rounded up six of those wayward young Egyptians.
Government officials say they've apprehended three more of the 11 Egyptians who recently went missing. These individuals are thought to have wanted to use their student visas to come into the U.S., get jobs, and live here. Five more of the so-called students remain on the lam.
They were supposed to attend a month-long program at Montana State University, but never showed. Debbie Phillips of Charleston, West Virginia, came home one day to find her house a lot cleaner than she left it. Phillips didn't mind the tidying up, but she did mind that someone walked right in while she wasn't around. She called police to report a break-in. But it was Phillips' son who solved the mystery when a cleaning lady arrived while he was at home. She had the wrong address. She'd been hired by the neighbors across the street, who left a house key hidden in a spot similar to where the Phillips family kept theirs. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
CompUSA
email bag.
Jesse emails, Dear CompUSA, are you guys really giving away 10 grand? You better believe it, Jesse. $10,000. And there's a guaranteed winner every day, now through Saturday. As if that's not enough, we're also putting all our Apple computers on sale for the first time ever. It's all part of CompUSA's huge back-to-school sale, where we got it, we get it.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. Void or prohibited. Store visit required. See store for details.
We're rocking into the free speed zone. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Left Coast. And this is the hour I enjoy the most. We open up the phone lines to hear from you. And you know the rules. You can call about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Eureka, jump on my toll-free line. I'd like to hear what's on your mind today. 888-5-PETER-B. You got that new toll-free number? 888-5-PETER-B. Or 888-573-8372. Over the past 24 hours, British authorities announced that they had intercepted a terrorist plot, which it appeared would involve multiple jetliners flying into the United States with explosives concocted from liquids. And from the sketch I've heard so far, the idea is that these different operators or terrorists would get on an airliner, and some of them would have fluid A in a bottle, and others would have fluid B, and presumably they'd meet in the lavatory, mix them together, and then with a lighter or some other ignition device, be able to blow up the airplane. The British say that they have intercepted the crew even before. I guess they they saw it taking shape, probably using spy techniques and surveillance that we would consider extra legal in the United States. But they were able to identify some of these people at a time that they made airline reservations, but before they had purchased their tickets. And we do understand that some of the suspects remain at large, and so not every detail has been released so far. Joining us from Washington, D.C. is James Ridgway. He is the director of Mother Jones' new investigative unit in Washington, D.C. Jim Ridgway, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. So what's the reaction in the nation's capital? It's a red alert for airliners, but did the color code get ratcheted up for the capital too?
Oh, no, nobody pays any attention to this stuff here. I mean, even if they paid attention to it, what would they do? I mean, the people, you know, there's no reaction to it whatsoever. I mean, it's kind of weird, actually, because it used to be when you have one of these terror alerts, you know, you have SWAT teams with automatic weapons and dogs and stuff in the metros.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like that today. There's nobody around the White House. You know, there's no snipers on the roof. There's just nothing much. I mean, yesterday they shut down Union Station for a little while because they found a package they thought was suspicious. Then they opened it up. But otherwise, nothing much. But, you know, I want to tell you something. This thing that has been suddenly discovered is nothing new. This plot, the exact same plot, was called the Bojinka plot.
Mm-hmm.
It was put together in the mid-1990s in the Philippines. And it was put together in precisely the same manner. And so the United States and the British and everybody else knows exactly what it's all about. What it is that the plotters, they get together and they have a laboratory. They had one in the Philippines. And they designed a bomb. And all that was necessary was a Casio watch, a bottle of what looked like contact lens solution, but was actually nitroglycerin,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of batteries.
Uh-huh.
They were to be packed separately and then quickly assembled into an explosive on board the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
The scheme was ingenious because the bomber would get aboard the plane in the Philippines, build and place the bomb, then depart at the first state stopover. All this would take place, see, outside the United States, so no visas were required.
Right.
Now, they tested this out in a movie theater. They set off a little bomb under a seat of a Manila movie theater. And then on December 1, 1994, Ramzi Youssef got on a plane, Philippine Airlines plane, was bound for Tokyo. And he put together a bomb, put it under a seat over a Japanese businessman was heading. The plane landed. He got off the plane. The plane took off. The bomb blew up, killed the Japanese businessman. The plane was able to land. It made an emergency landing. So the thing about this plot that these guys have all suddenly discovered has been around for ages and ages. Out of this plot came information that, among other things, in addition to blowing up 12 aircraft, they thought they would discuss the possibilities of turning an aircraft, an airliner, into a missile, which mm-hmm. is what was done in 9/11.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, he says he knew about this for several months ago. So this sudden discovery of this is sort of like, I don't doubt that they suddenly discovered it, and I don't doubt that it's real, but it's something slightly weird to me.
Well, Jim, it's interesting because I had that reaction, and I suppressed it. And earlier today, somebody said, take a look at BuzzFlash, and if there's a lead commentary at BuzzFlash.com today, which I don't think is terribly persuasive, but it attempts to draw these parallels between disclosures of these developing plots and a desire by the Bush administration to distract us from something that they want to distract us from. So, for example, the gang in Miami that was so inept that they thought they had to have uniforms to be a terrorist group, and they allowed their FBI informant to lead them in a loyalty oath to Osama bin Laden. That was busted up, according to this BuzzFlash piece, just a day or two after the Senate vote regarding the the war in Iraq. So I am a little bit prone, I guess, to believe that this administration would use terrorist threats and the manipulation of the threat level to distract people from things. But the current du jour thought is that this is to distract us from Joe Lieberman's loss in Connecticut. And somehow, I don't think Karl Rove and George Bush are so invested in that that they would then say, well, we've got to distract people with another terrorist plot.
No, I agree with you. I don't think that's what this is involved. This is a real thing. This is a real plot. It's got real plans. It's all been tested. It's been known about since 1994 by everybody in the U.S. government and the intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
Very well known. So to suddenly have it surface and people saying, oh, hey, this wonderful, this, you know, crazy plot, and they're going to carry it on in two vials or whatever. It's all been done. Everybody knows exactly what was going on. Maybe it's slightly different in terms of the ingredients, but the basic idea is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem is that since at least 1994, the FAA and the federal government has been told over and over and over that its air security system doesn't work.
Right.
It's been told it doesn't work since 9/11. One of the guys who was involved in testing that air security system was taken by a TV crew up to Toronto. He picked the locks in the Toronto airport in 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
walked on ramps, walked on planes, walked all over the place. And this guy says he could fly a plane easily over the White House and bomb it to smithereens. I think that the United States problem is that there's no accountability in 9/11 and that we don't have any system in place to protect ourselves in this air system.
Mm-hmm. You just referred to the story of Steve Elson.
Right.
He was on the FAA Red Team, and he's going to join us on the program tomorrow to tell us more about that. But you're correct that we have a very vulnerable system, and despite the fact that we've spent billions of taxpayer money, not airlines money, to tighten up the security, and we have spiffy new uniforms for our TSA employees, we're still incredibly vulnerable. And we know, for example, that, I believe this is still true. I haven't heard anything to the contrary, that we are still not inspecting much of the air cargo that comes in on airliners from foreign destinations.
Well, we don't inspect the air cargo, but the other thing is the machinery that's used to look at this stuff has not been tested, is not thought to be. Some people will argue that it doesn't work, but it certainly hasn't been tested. I noticed even in the BBC account that they said it had not been tested, that they were in the process of testing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that these former Red Team guys and others, you know, sort of like them, can just walk through this air security system, I would think, would raise alarms in the government. I mean,
you would hope so.
What is going on?
Jim Ridgway, I appreciate your report. I just wanted to touch on one thing that you mentioned early on in our conversation about the reaction yesterday when this was first announced in Washington. I read an email that you sent to San Francisco that there was some confusion. There was this questionable container or package at Union Station.
Right.
And so they shut down the trains, and then they bust people from a metro station to Union Station while it was closed?
Yeah, that's the Washington evacuation scheme. First of all, they say, if you want to get out of Washington, get on the subway. Well, okay, so they shut the subway down, so that doesn't work. So then they take the people out of the subway and they put them on a bus. They drive the bus down to Union Station where there's supposedly a bomb. I mean, like, go figure, as they say.
Yeah, is Mike Brown the consultant on this?
I don't know who's the consultant. I don't know. You know, they've got about 6, 7, 8 police forces in Washington.
Yeah.
There's nobody in charge. They all compete with each other. And who the hell knows what's going on?
Yeah. Jim, thank you for this report. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
James Ridgway, he heads up the Washington Investigative Unit for Mother Jones Magazine. You could read his work at motherjones.com. Coming up next, we go to the phones and take your calls for the rest of this hour. You can call me with anything you want to talk about at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Do have a couple of problems working out there. Salinas South 101 at Main Street. Several boxes filled with lettuce still clearing out of lanes. Salinas Reservation Road at Panziera Road. Car overturned and landed in a ditch. Emergency crews are en route. Hollister, Highway 25 at Palato Park, small grass fire burning near the roadway. Fire department en route. Southbound 101 at Cole, it's a stalled out car in lanes. Financial aid is available year-round at California Community Colleges. Visit IcanAffordCollege.com, that's IcanAffordCollege.com, or call 800-987-ICAN to see if they can help. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. I've got three lines available right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I need to be. I'm wrestling with the line, and the grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but
we're expecting a panic attack. Tommy Panic, our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, has been dispatched to an airport security checkpoint, and we may have a report from him sometime between now and the end of the hour. Two items I'd like to add to the mix, and then we go directly to your calls. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. Interesting article in today's New York Times, starts on the page one and jumps to the interior, but it describes the difficulties Condoleezza Rice has been having taming the neocons inside the Bush administration. And this probably was leaked from Rice herself or one of her staffers to try to offset this this perception that has been created recently that Rice is a tough so-and-so who is, you know, eagerly supporting every step the Israelis are taking. And so there are a couple of interesting little anecdotes described here. One is that after some of these arguments between the factions in the Bush administration, she sat down in Jerusalem for dinner with Prime Minister Olmert of Israel recently, and Olmert responded to her request to suspend airstrikes for 48 hours by saying that Israel had warned residents to evacuate. And Condoleezza shook her head and said, look, we've had this experience with Katrina. We thought we were doing it right, but we learned that many people who want to leave can't leave. And so this is pretty interesting for her to use the biggest recent failure domestically of the Bush administration in her pursuit of foreign policy. I find that delicious. Here's something not so delicious. You know, we've deployed National Guard troops near the border. Bush went for a photo op last week. And they're, you know, maintaining their vehicles, building some fences, that sort of thing, but they're not actually patrolling the border. However, the ratcheting up of our border defenses has produced this consequence. On Monday, a sport utility vehicle that was packed with 21 Mexican illegals, quote-unquote stacked like cordwood in the back, got into pursuit, or they were engaged in pursuit by a Border Patrol vehicle. And the driver hit the gas and ultimately crashed the vehicle. And nine of the immigrants stacked in the back were killed. And I bring this up because I don't think that our border policies are working. I don't think that putting the National Guard there makes a bit of difference. I think we have a lot of hot air coming out of Washington. And all it means is that it's a little more difficult for immigrants to cross the border, and more of them will die. I don't think that's a solution from anybody's perspective. To your calls now, and Susan from Santa Cruz, you're first. Good afternoon. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Not bad.
Good. I have three things.
Good.
One is, what happened to Dr. Mike?
Dr. Mike Newcomb.
Newcomb, yeah.
I don't know specifically. Hal probably made the call on that, but we were running his show late at night on KRXA.
Yeah,
and
I know.
There have been some technical problems in getting it from Phoenix to Monterey.
Okay.
I think that was one of the issues. Also, there's some Lionel fans who wanted to continue to hear Lionel.
Eek. Okay.
he's not
you
my...
know I'm not a Lionel fan.
And I'm not one either. I love Doug Basham.
Yeah, and I really like Dr. Mike. He is really different. I really like him. Okay.
You could listen to him online at aaphx.com.
I'll find it.
Okay.
All right. The second thing, the Israel thing is real difficult. It's very difficult for me. I'm not a great fan of Israel. My mother was Jewish. What I'm finding is a lot of anti-Semitism. I experienced it directly the other day with somebody who said, these effing Jews, you know, they just can't get enough. They can't, you give them a little bit, they got to have more. And I just looked at him, you know. And first I told him, you know, first of all, you can't get away with that with me because my mom was Jewish, even though I wasn't brought up Jewish.
Well, and even that, you couldn't get away with that with me.
With me either. And I said, if you want to condemn Israel for its actions, go right ahead, but don't condemn a whole people.
There's a big difference between Israel and, quote-unquote, the Jews.
Exactly. And... But I've experienced so much anti-Semitism in my life.
Let me just raise this other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Are people as politically correct in their speech when it comes to Muslims or Arabs? Because, for example, a lot of people simply lump Lebanese in with Arabs or
right,
Muslims.
And they're not Arabs.
And it is an incredibly diverse country with a very large Christian population.
Okay, so what I want to bring up is that I just think there is a real strong climate of hate in this country.
Yes, there is. Did you hear, Susan, Larissa Alexandrovna yesterday?
A little bit of it. Unfortunately, I was in transit, so
well,
I didn't hear
it. Go to HuffingtonPost.com and read her entire article.
I missed her experience, but I was just going to say that we really need, it's really hard to do this, but taking sides doesn't work, and I think really looking at the issues and asking both sides to stop is really what needs to happen. As a matter of fact, I would like someone on the station to, if you haven't done this already, to research how to get in touch with the Israeli government directly and how to get in touch with the Lebanese government so that we can email them or send them letters or call them.
All right, that's a good idea. They're probably a little busy, but...
And I can see all this. I can see both sides, you know, and I can see where, Israel would want to punish Lebanon because they do nothing about Hezbollah, you know. So I can understand it.
All right, Susan, I'm out of time. I got to run.
Wait.
Thank you for your call. I can't stop. It's a train wreck coming, and it's coming, and I can't stop it. The railroad crossing is down. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mercury Milan, my first time in this five-passenger, four-door, mid-size car. My demo has a 3-liter fuel-injected, six-cylinder engine and a six-speed automatic, delivering plenty of power and acceleration. It has good traction, holds the road well, and handles with ease. The ride is a little bumpier than I expected, and the turning radius is pretty big for a car this size. Inside, it's got good legroom and headroom, and my demo has a good package of accessories and safety features. The Milan is assembled in Mexico, which helps explain the lower price tag. Before you buy a Camry, Maxima, or Malibu, give the Mercury Milan a test drive. By the numbers, the 2006 Mercury Milan gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $25,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn?
Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the middle of the free speed zone. The First Amendment still in full effect. You're invited to call. Let us know what's on your mind about the issues of the day. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-5-PETER-B puts you through. More of your calls coming up in just a moment, but as you know, airline security has been tightened.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked, no weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines.
Now hold those fluids. Well, don't hold them, actually.
No carry-ons, no clothing, no laptops. Well, laptops. And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection, no clothing directions from the nude flight attendant, a guy. Damn. Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer. Naked Airlines.
Well, it's almost like that if you left from Heathrow today. No carry-ons whatsoever, including beverages. You had to dump them before you got on the plane. So we sent our in-depth... our in-depth undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, to a nearby airport to investigate the tightened security regulations and find out what kind of banned liquids have been confiscated from passengers today. Tommy, what airport did you choose?
Peter, I'm at the 14th largest airport in the United States, the 23rd largest in the world. I'm about 13 minutes south of San Francisco, SFO.
Ah, SFO,
yeah.
Okay.
San Francisco International Airport. Really an odd place for me to be, seeing how I am on the no-fly list.
Right.
And I should actually keep my voice down. I'm trying to keep a low profile here. I've been thrown out of the airport a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'll get to that shortly. Security, for obvious reasons, at an all-time high. The frisking you get coming in this place, it's like a mugging. It's almost like, I don't want to say sexual, but it's really close.
Yeah.
It's close, and it happened to me twice. But anyway, yeah, I snuck into, like, the Ambassador Lounge or whatever they call it for United and got into some trouble there, got thrown out. And I've just been kind of cruising around here trying to figure out what the story really is. And people are obviously getting very upset. The lines, they say they're starting to ease up, but I honestly don't see it here.
Yeah.
No liquid, everybody knows about that. And, you know, I saw on they've got the TV going, the CNN going by. It's nice Michael Chertoff's on the job, isn't it?
Oh, it's very comforting.
Yeah.
Now, are there long lines at the water fountains? Because you gotta dump your personal plastic bottle. You can't have a latte. I mean...
Yeah, there's not much. I had some sushi in the international terminal as I was trying to figure out what the story was, and I finally just went to this big bin of crap, of stuff, of liquids, and there's a lot of the obvious things. I mean, there's tons of bottled water and just shampoo and typical things people have, but I saw some weird stuff in there, Peter.
Like?
Weird stuff. There was a lot of breast milk.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Was that part? I know it was a mixture of liquids that would allegedly have gotten the bomb going, but I don't know, breast milk?
I don't know that leche materna, as we say in Spanish, could ever be exploded. I don't know how you turn that into a weapon.
I don't know. Motor oil? There was motor oil in there?
Yeah.
What do you do with motor oil on an airplane?
I don't know. You can't, well...
I don't know. There was also a lot of personal lubricant, and maybe the motor oil falls under that umbrella. I'm not really sure. There was a four-pack of Zima.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know it came in a four-pack. I saw some syrup of Ipecac, if you know what that is.
I'm trying to remember. Is that...
It's to induce vomiting.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure what that's doing on the plane here.
Yeah.
And it's just a collection of peculiar things. And I don't know. We will see how this thing plays out. There's a lot of people. I see a lot of skepticism. I talk to a lot of people around the airport. People aren't sure what the deal is with this. Mm-hmm. Is this really on the up and up? Is this what is this related to? I don't know. That's really for someone like you to delve into. But, you know, I've got to keep a low profile. I need to get out of here. There's like some guy in blue coming this way. But,
all right, Tommy, make your exit.
Thank you.
That's our panic for today, believe it or don't. Tommy Panic joining us from San Francisco International Airport, where, as you can tell, security has reached an all-time high. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B. Jay knows how to dial those numbers. Hello, Jay, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. So I wanted to give a sort of different perspective on the politics, maybe a vegetarian or an ethical perspective.
Okay.
It seems like, everything, if we bottom line everything, the issue is how do those in power treat those whom they have power over? And the question is, you ran a real estate commercial just now for the real estate guys that said the tenants pay the mortgage and you get the equity. I mean, is it okay to profit at somebody else's loss? And if you have the power, all the political particular issues, if we look at the actual rules of the game and the deeper structures, which are basically the tax code, but a lot of other things, this is all about keeping the wealthiest 1% or 0.5% of the country getting as rich as possible and taking the money from all the middle class and all the poor people. So in other words, you have a situation almost like a couple of mountain lions eating a whole bunch of rabbits. So when I look at the decisions that everyday people make in their everyday lives, because the poorest person in the country has power over animals. You know, every time you go to Safeway, you've got the power to, are you going to pay somebody to basically raise an animal in what 99% of the time horrible conditions? I'm not even talking about killing it.
99% is extreme, but you're right. Factory farming is really ugly.
It's really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question I ask myself over and over again, if we swapped 100 people off the street and just had them change places with 100 of the wealthiest people in the country, would anything change? Would they make different moral decisions on how they would treat those over whom they had power?
I don't know, but I'd love to try it.
Well, yeah, because everything else seems to come off that one basic decision. Can you profit by somebody else's loss? And, of course, there's the issue. That's assuming that there's enough for everybody. If you truly believe it's me or you, buddy, and I got to feed my family, that's a different issue. So I just wanted to bring that perspective.
All right. Well, I think that's very interesting. Now, let me ask you something, because this popped up the other day, and there have been so many bigger stories that I haven't mentioned it on the show yet.
Sure.
Somebody introduced a bill in Sacramento the other day.
Okay.
Which is intended to provide greater levels of protection for pets, particularly for dogs.
Uh-huh.
And it would be a state law that would require that a pet owner could not tether his dog for more than 3 hours per day. And I looked at this and I said, what the hell is the state legislature doing with an issue like that?
Yeah.
Because I believe that county and local jurisdictions have plenty of control over animal issues, pet issues, and that sort of thing. And I see it as an effort to placate the animal rights movement, and in the article I read, it referenced PETA as the source of this.
Right.
And it really stuck in my craw, because I don't think that the government should be involved in policing the manner in which people maintain or treat their pets. I don't think that is a state issue. And certainly, I do not want animals mishandled or tortured or harmed in any way.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to interfere with a dog owner who keeps his dog on a choke chain because I think they should have just a regular leash there. I think that's the business of that pet owner, and his or her pet can certainly communicate as best they can, you know, about how they feel about the way they're being treated. But I don't think that it is a legitimate issue for the state legislature to take up. And it even makes me feel conservative when I see.
Yeah, you're sounding pretty conservative
when
right now.
When I see something like that. So I want to put it out to you. What do you think about that proposal? And, you know, do you believe that it's an appropriate role of state government to regulate the amount of time per day that a guy or gal's dog is on a leash?
Well, without addressing that directly, is it appropriate for one living being to own another living being? Can a living being be property? Now, is...
And I would answer yes to that, but go ahead.
Okay. I mean, my first reaction was that there's much more important issues, and I wish they'd regulate how chickens were kept in cages and cows and stuff like that. And, you know, anybody, you know not to tell people how to deal with either their children or their pets because they're not going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now, no, I don't... You know, my immediate reaction was, no, I don't want government dealing with it. But underneath that, is it really appropriate for people, for a person to own another living being? I mean, if you really love animals, you know, how can you own them? But on the other hand, everybody talks about companionship. So, but it's a sidetrack.
I accept what I consider to be the hierarchy of the food chain. And I believe that humans are at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, for example, right now on my property, we have wild blackberries growing.
Okay.
Okay. And every morning when I go out to get my newspaper, I pick four or five blackberries, and I just love it.
Blackberries don't run away when you eat them.
Okay, but I'm just building a case here. All right.
Sure.
Now moving up the food chain, I think that dogs are they're a higher life form than blackberries.
I agree with that.
Okay, but I don't believe they're at the same level as humans. And so
level of intelligence or level of having a right to health and happiness.
Well, it's the right issue. I don't believe that animals have rights in the manner that humans have rights.
Okay, so basically, even on that level, you know, I hear that, and that's a basic point.
Mm-hmm.
But the question to me is one of if someone truly believes that you need to eat meat to stay healthy, and I can accept that viewpoint. And the thing is, I'm not even so much against people eating the meat. It's the manner that it's raised and the manner it lives. It's not such a big deal to me that it had a good life and then it dies. Okay, that's one thing. But being like veal calves, kept anemic and in pain and suffering their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, just out of respect and gratitude, you know, wouldn't you want the, or even just self-interest, do you want all the poisons that were running around in that chicken or in that cow that had a lousy life to come into your system? You know, so even if there is a hierarchy, analogizes exactly with politics, because, you know, one thing that people said about blacks and Irish and Italians, they're animals. All through history, the Jews, Hitler said, they're animals. All through history, if you can call them animals, you can do whatever you want to them because they just don't have the same rights. So when you make that statement, you laid the basis for all oppression throughout all human history, all racism, all genocide, because they're animals and you can do whatever you want to them, and so they don't have rights. Maybe that's true.
But if we treated dogs better, it doesn't mean that cruel people that you just described would extend beyond animals, you know, their description.
Hitler loved animals and was a vegetarian, and now isn't that a... I mean, and I know that, and I acknowledge that. I even have a song about it, you know?
All right, Jay, I got to take a break here. I really appreciate your call. You give us some things to think about, and let's see if other people want to call and talk about this. Do animals have rights? And what do you think of what Jay had to say?
Okay, thanks, Peter.
All right, Jay, good to talk to you. 888-5-PETER-B. And if you have a talking dog, put her on the line. It's 888-573-8372. Give me a call and we'll talk about it. The Free Speech Zone continues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. We'll be right back.
This is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage, too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540 North 101 at San Juan Road. It's a stalled out car, possibly blocking the on-ramp there. Irma, San Juan Road on-ramp to North 101, still have this van. Felton Empire Road at Graham Hill Road, it's the roadway partially being blocked with a fallen tree. That's Felton Empire Road at Graham Hill Road. Traffic still looking pretty good through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No major problems to report on 17. And 101 looking good as you make your way coming south from the 85 interchange through Morgan Hill and eventually into Gilroy. Now during Mattress Discounters Pillow Top Sale, you can get a Simmons Pillow Top for only $588. Plus, you'll find other select Simmons and Sealy Pillow Tops on sale. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes before the hour. And there's still room for a call or two if you'd like to join us. A short wait on hold. 888-5-PETER-B is the number. 888-573-8372.
You're in a state like this. You can really move it.
And let's catch up on a little bit of email. Here's from Steve in Salinas. He says, this is most of a letter I sent to about 20 senators today. What do you think? I hope the Dems don't let Republicans run on the issue of national security. Bush, anytime he has a tough question, brings up 9/11. This should play into the hands of the Dems. Here are some thoughts and questions that need to be explored and explained. One, who was president on 9/11? All right, Steve, first of all, you need to know that 30% of the people don't even know what year 9/11 happened in. So that's too tricky a question for too many Americans. Number two, how much did the Bush administration know and do before the attacks of 9/11? Yeah, good question. Number three, after the 9/11 attacks, virtually the whole world wanted to help us. Because of the attitudes and actions of the Bushies, that's changed. Bush said that going into Iraq would make us safer. How can we be safer if 10 times as many people hate us? Good question. Number four, what has Bush done to make us safer? I think we asked that. Number five, the Republicans will say the Dems will cut and run. The mission in Iraq was accomplished in May of 2003. You raise a very important point there, Steve, and this is one I have not seen Democrats seize because it was a gift from John Warner, the Republican head of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, former husband of Elizabeth Taylor, just for a little trivial note. And last week, he raised the question as to, well, it's put this way, that if Iraq is in fact in civil war, the authorization passed by Congress in the fall of 2002 doesn't cover civil war. It covers regime change. It covers the invasion. And so here is a leading Republican and a major supporter of the White House saying, you know, guys, we may be out of whack here. We may be out of compliance with our own resolution. Democrats should be mentioning that about every 10 minutes. Next question here from Steve. He said, Bush had a chance to get bin Laden in Afghanistan, but Bush cut and run. Remind people that Saddam had no WND. That's number 7. Oh, Steve, there we go again. 50% of the American people recently polled said they believe that Saddam had WMD before we went in. And that's up 14 points from last summer at the same time. Americans are getting dumber about this. So that is Steve's note. And he said, here's my way out of Iraq. Go to UN and apologize for screwing up. Tell UN we will withdraw troops in 2 months and suggest that UN send in peacekeepers until Iraqi people can handle things themselves. And 3, divide Iraq into 3 countries. Well, actually, that partitioning, according to the New York Times, is being discussed by some of the leaders in Iraq right now. The problem is that the Sunnis appear to be, poised to get short shrift. And because the Sunni towns and areas are generally not in oil-producing areas, the Sunnis feel that the Shia and the Kurds will make a deal to cut them out. And the idea of a federation with some sort of a fair mechanism to share the oil revenues of the entire country, I think has some appeal. But it isn't getting much traction right now, either from Iraqis or from the United States. So I think that, that is going to be a big problem. So I appreciate that note. A couple of other items. I wanted to give you the details I mentioned with Jay from Monterey a couple of minutes ago. The bill that it has been introduced in the State Assembly, I'm sorry, I guess it's a Senate bill, is SB 1578. It would limit the tethering of dogs to 3 hours during any 24-hour period. Proponents say tethering dogs all day is not only unfair to the animals, but can lead to more aggression. And this is a quote from Pam Rundquist, a member of the Board of California Animal Association, a coalition of 15 animal rights groups. Dogs that are chained permanently become more aggressive and are more likely to bite. It's also a horrible existence for a dog. I agree with all of that. I just don't think that this is a matter for the state legislature to take up. And if there were a law, are we going to have a state pooch police? Are we going to divert the highway patrol into enforcement of the tether law? I'm sorry. This is not a state issue. And I just think that it's, I don't know. I fear that some people who champion the rights of animals actually value them slightly more than humans. That's what I have to say about that. Also, I'd like to point out to you that our friend Larissa Alexandrovna, who was on the program yesterday and who described in some, personal pain, her intimate experiences as a Jew who was discriminated against in her native Russia and who has seen a great deal of hate in this country. She framed it around Mel Gibson's drunk driving and racial slurs experience. I hope you had a chance to hear that, and if not, please go to HuffingtonPost.com, enter Larissa in the search window, and it'll lead you to a link of all of Larissa's postings on the Huffington Post, and the one that we referenced about Mel Gibson is a must-read. Likewise, Larissa, who appears to never rest, posted a five-page summary of her reporting over the last 6 months, and it's available, it was on the homepage this morning at alternet.org. And it is entitled, Is Lebanon the Trigger for U.S. War with Iran? And I would invite you to read this because, as I say, it summarizes her reporting, Seymour Hersh's reporting, related to the U.S. intentions toward Iran. And it also describes the I guess we would call them a terrorist group called MEK that was formerly operating in Iraq. And we gave them new uniforms and a new payroll source and sent them into Iran. And this occurred in March of this year, and a lot of people don't know about it, and I think that it is an important background to the conflict that is underway between Israel and Hezbollah, impacting Lebanon, and the potential for that to expand. And as we wrap up the Peter B. Collins Show today, I got some very sad news just about 20 minutes ago via an email. My neighbor, Dean LeGras, died in a plane crash in the last day or two. Dean was a radio broadcaster who worked for CBS Radio in Los Angeles for over 20 years. He was the general sales manager of KNX AM. And he moved to the Bay Area 10, 15 years ago. And he worked as a radio station broker, buying and selling radio stations for clients through the X-Line companies. I got to know Dean because when my water line broke a couple of years ago, I had to meet my neighbor so I could dig a ditch through his yard to put in a new line. He was quite a gentleman. He was a man who enjoyed music of the Sinatra era and performed in a big band as the lead singer. And he was just a fine all-around guy. And I'm really, really distressed to hear that he's passed away, and want to extend my condolences to his family. This is Peter B. Thanks for listening to our program today. I'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you.
Childhood Matters. The show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
More and more women are choosing to breastfeed because of the advantages it has for babies. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me on Sunday to discuss the joys and challenges of breastfeeding, including what to do if you're having trouble nursing your baby, and how you feel about breastfeeding in public.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a new reality for air travelers.
There are no items in a carry-on bag of a gel or a liquid-type nature allowed today until further notice.
In fact, starting tomorrow, the Transportation Security Administration plans to two separate screenings to make sure no one brings any banned materials on board. The suspected terrorists arrested in Britain allegedly planned to mix liquid chemicals in flight to make bombs that would blow up planes over the Atlantic.
I'm Barry Bagnato at Dulles Airport. Arriving on a United flight from London, people said they were impressed by how calm everyone was, considering how fearful this plot was and the new restrictions facing travelers. Write it off to post 9/11 experience, says passenger Jim McConnell.
People have grown to accept the state of the world these days, and they know that sometimes you have to go through things that are a little rough to protect ourselves.
Greg Swarren shrugged off the onboard inconveniences, except one. He couldn't read.
Like, they wouldn't even let us bring books on the plane. That was kind of the weird thing.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News at Dulles Airport outside Washington.
Authorities say the plotters were planning a dry run within days and might have attempted as many as 10 simultaneous bombings shortly thereafter. That's why they were rounded up.
CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart has details of the investigation.
Essentially, it began 3 months ago when British authorities began following two people, young British citizens of Pakistani descent that they had had previous interest in. When these two men went overseas and visited Pakistan, ostensibly they said to visit family, authorities were alerted to the fact that they actually were visiting with people who were not their family and are believed to be extremist from the terrorist sect.
Pakistan says it played an important role in uncovering the plot. Several suspects were arrested there. In Britain, searches of the suspects' homes turned up at least one martyrdom tape, a final message recorded by someone who's about to carry out a suicide bombing. The United States and France are working toward a U.N. Security Council vote tomorrow on a Mideast ceasefire resolution, but CBS News foreign affairs analyst Pamela Falk says there's been a late development.
The Russian ambassador created a new twist in the diplomatic machinery by submitting a plan for a 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire and calling for a vote on Friday. The Russian plan expressed grave concern over the increasing